You are listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network. Is there anything better than cracking open a cold beer and listening to your favorite podcasts? No, sir, and I'm here to tell you that the beer you should be cracking is one from our new sponsor, Circle Brewing, located in Austin, Texas at 2340 West Breaker Lane, Suite B. You can have a frosty one in their fabulous tap room where lots of seasonal specials await you, or you can get lots of their treats in the bottle or can at your local craft beer retailer. Try their award-winning Alibi Blonde or their diabolically rich Devil Knight Barrel Age Stout. They have so many solid choices, and they are the official sponsor of OneOfUs.net. Support Circle Brewing and support us, and we really need your support. There is no site without subscribers, and that depends on you. Please think about becoming a subscriber, because we cannot do this without you. The four different subscription tiers are there to give different flavors of bonus content, but we absolutely need your help, whether you sign up to give $2, $5, $10, or $25 a month. Don't be one of those people who loves something but won't lift a finger to keep it around. Help one of us and keep those podcasts coming.
This is Laura, and we are reviewing Mademoiselle Paradis. And this is basically a blind pianist, a young girl, a teenager, whose parents are just trying desperately to find a cure for her blindness, as she was born with sight. And she ends up going to a specialist who hopefully can cure her, and with varying degrees of success, it is that story of their relationship as he tries to cure her and she starts to regain some sight. And it's sort of tied in with her musicality and ability as a pianist. I'm not really sure how else. I don't think I really want to add anything else right now. What do you think, Bradley?
Yeah, that was a spot on synopsis.
All right.
Full price. That's there we go.
And we're done. Thank you very much.
So that's interesting. So yeah, by the way, I'm Justin over here. This lovely voice you heard over there was Laura Britton. How are you doing, Laura?
I am fine. How are you?
I'm doing great. And over here is Bradley Martin. Bradley, how you doing, buddy?
Very good.
Excellent. So, all right. So with that general synopsis out of the way, so like, what were some of the big things just based on the, like, what do you think about the writing in general? Like, what do you think about the, like, the you know what? I'll let you guys go. Since you guys saw this movie, I did not. Please tell me more. How is this movie worth watching based on the premise you just gave us?
Well, I would say it's one of the better foreign films I've seen this year. I haven't seen a whole lot. It did have some American sensibilities, or Hollywood sensibilities, I'll call them, that kind of surprised me a bit. And Lara, you let me know if you disagree with that, but every scene where there was like this mean, cruel person just next to her, you know, I thought, mm-hmm. Well, that seems a bit Hollywood for a foreign film. Like they'd walk up to her, literally walk up to her in the same room with her right in front of her and talk about her like she wasn't even there. Like one girl's all like, ooh, blind, that's dumb. Are you dumb too? Oh, you smell awful as well. No, not even you smell awful. She smells awful. Like they talked about her like she wasn't even there. It was like she was surrounded by Regina King's.
Yeah, I was going to say, is it the Mean Girls that were there?
Oh, totally. It was, you know, I hadn't really thought about it like that, but yeah, she was surrounded by people who were just, she was like nothing to them. Really, I mean, it was so horrible, the treatment that she received, even being a member of the, you know, upper class aristocracy. And I don't know if that's, you know, a Hollywood thing or if that's actually, I mean, if you think about how people are treated if you have a disability, I mean, it's like, that person's blind, they're no good, they're terrible. It seems like that's a common theme among people. You treat, you know, the other differently because you don't understand it or think you're better than them. It's sort of how I feel like her whole life was until she got to this guy's house. I don't really want to call it a treatment center. It wasn't really that.
A treatment center?
I mean, he had other... rehab
hangout. That might be a better way to call it. I wasn't really clear on that part of it. I liked it. I did like the movie. I think there are a lot of really nice things about it, and part of me thinks that it was sort of struggling for identity a little bit, because it first it was the story of Maria trying to get her sight back. And I sort of thought it was going to be more of a relationship story, as her journey being cured by, Franz Anton Mesmer, I guess his name was, Dr. Mesmer. And I didn't really get a whole lot of that relationship, which I think in retrospect, I would have appreciated more of. And
no,
conversely,
yeah.
Right. And then conversely, I mean, if it was the story just of her getting her sight back, then there was that piece missing as well, too. It didn't really ever seem to hinge on one specific journey or another, even though it went on a journey. So it's hard for me to be clear, but I think that the trajectory of the story wasn't as clear as it could have been.
Okay, so I mean, do you feel that's a problem with the writing itself, or the way it's directed, or was it?
You know, it's hard to say because so many films are made, you know, in the editing room. I'm not really sure if it was that, if it was a writing, or if it was the, who was the writer? It was Barbara? Okay, so the director was part of the rewrites, but. Yeah, no, I don't really know. It's hard to say. I appreciated a lot of the stuff that happened as from the director. I liked the way it looked, even though it wasn't your just gorgeous, lush period piece. Everything seemed to have like that tinge of not quite beautiful, or the tinge of the ugly, even though it should have been beautiful visually.
Like exactly, the wabi-sabi effect. I liked that too.
Yeah, I liked that a lot.
Yeah, because the director that you mentioned, Barbara Albert, she actually hasn't made a whole lot of movies lately. Like, I mean, she made one, she was a writer for this film called The Dead and the Living back in the day, like 2012, which she also directed. But then, yeah, she's got a very sporadic career here with, like, Falling, Free Radicals, Nordrand, like, mostly very indie circuit kind of stuff, it feels like. So mm-hmm. It seems like it's kind of very in her wheelhouse, I guess, like making kind of a indie feeling period piece like you guys are kind of implying.
Yeah, but I did enjoy it. I think it's worth watching. It's interesting. I mean, visually, it really sets the tone for the story and how the lead character has to deal with the horribleness around her, and she does a great job. I think the acting's really good. Like, the lead character, I don't know how she did all she did. And I actually, as a pianist, I'm a pianist, I was trained, classically trained pianist way back when, but I liked how they did the piano, so we didn't actually have to see the lead actress pretend to play piano. They actually had someone playing the piano, and I liked the way that they cut it so that we didn't have to suffer through watching someone not play the piano and listening to a soundtrack.
So, speaking of the lead actress, the lead actress here is Maria Dragas, who, if you don't recognize her, she got her breakout from that one Michael Haneke film that came out years ago, The White Ribbon. Have you ever saw that one?
No.
Oh, it's a great...
No.
Yeah.
Well, she's great.
Oh, yeah. No, so she's one of those, like, you know, they're trying to launch her as an up-and-coming actress, because she's also going to be in the TV series adaptation of Looking for Alaska. So, what is it that she does in particular? Like, you know, saying that she's playing blind, like, is there anything in particular she does with her performance that makes it so stand out, or?
How she moves her eyes and her hands, I think, is particularly striking. I think she did some character studies for sure on that. Like, I don't know how she did her eyes. I don't know how she did her face. It was amazing.
Awesome.
Her blindness came from an injury, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct?
I think so.
Yeah, it says that she lost it as a child. So she wasn't mm-hmm. born blind. It was an injury that happened.
Right.
Or something.
And I think when it comes to Hollywood, that's two Hollywood drops. When it comes to film and people being blind, I always range the scale a one being a Bryce Dallas Howard to, is she blind? I don't know. She's so comfortable in her own skin. to Al Pacino in Scent of a Woman, where it's like, hoo-ha, I'm blind, everybody. I feel sorry for everybody. I'm blind.
I'm
hoo-ha.
So blind. Look at me.
That's true.
No, actually, my bottom scale is Neil Patrick Harris in Beastly, where it's like, I don't even think he actually is blind. I think he's just pretending to be blind this whole movie.
Oh, man. That's right. That was, a paycheck's a paycheck, and good for Neil Patrick Harris. But I'd say she is one of the most unique performances mm-hmm. of a blind person, because she was noticeably blind because of how she held her eyes mostly.
Yeah.
But she wasn't noticeably blind in what so many films make the mistake of doing, as in, I don't know where I am right now. I can't see. Oh, where is everything? You know, she was very comfortable in her own skin. And that's such a hard thing I've noticed to portray when you're acting as someone with any disability, really.
Yeah.
Okay.
So. I think she did a really standout job.
I mean, is there any other actors who really stood out for you? Because, I mean, I see there's a big list of actors, most of whom I have no idea who they are, personally, but...
well, the doctor I thought was okay for a doctor, but he kind of just niched himself into that and didn't become anything more. Although I think the story was hinting at that he was supposed to be, but I didn't really get that from his performance.
Right, which the actor there is David Strisau, who...
Yeah, he was fine, but...
Yeah.
I don't know, I agree. If there was supposed to be something more between him and...
That's right, and that's what I kept thinking was happening, and, you know, I really wanted more from him and from, you know, the relationship between him and his... patient Maria.
Yeah.
I really wish that we had seen more of that. And I mean, of course, he's not in charge of the writing, but, you know.
Right, right.
Whatever was happening between them, I don't know, it seemed maybe he was caught up in the formal relationship that was involved, but I don't know. Mm-hmm. It just seemed like there was something missing there that really could have helped the emotional impetus of this story.
Right, like by the end of it, no spoilers, of course, I thought, oh, is there something more here? Or is he literally just the best doctor in the world, you know, a doctor without pity, you know?
I agree. At the end, I similarly was like, oh, wait, what? What just happened? Wait, are we done?
Right.
Okay, I guess we're done now. Yeah.
Now, what'd you think of the helicopter parents?
Oh, my God. I know. The parents, you know, God, that poor thing. It's amazing. She turned out as good as she did. That's what I think about the helicopter parents.
Now, something I like about biopics, when they do this right, I mean, when they actually talk about the craft without using sentimental rubbish. And not that I'm against sentimental rubbish, but in a lot of biopics, they talk about, like, Robert Nash in A Beautiful Mind, his math was often talked about sentimental rubbish. Of course, you have Eddie Redmayne as Professor Hawking, and his craft would often devolve into sentimental rubbish, like, oh, of course, the greatest math of all, love. And that's, you know, kind of silly.
Right.
But how did this hand, you said you were classically trained, when she talked about her craft, does that all add up, or was it just kind of
trivial? Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, no, it does add up. And
it sounds
very,
very convincing. I'm not classically trained at all myself, but
yeah, no, she. I liked what she was saying about her playing the piano. That was totally makes sense as a pianist how she was describing things, and you know, one of the key things for her life is that, you know, this character is that she is just this supposed to be an amazing pianist.
Mm-hmm.
And she starts to have difficulty when she starts to be able to see. And so there's a, you know, she has a conflict of self there, because she has a conflict between being able to continue playing her music well or seeing. And, you know, that's a key part of it. And so, I don't know, as a musician, there's always that struggle.
Yeah, I loved that conflict because...
It was great. That was probably one of the best things.
Because it wasn't so much that, oh, well, if I can see better, I can't play anymore. It was, if I see better, I can't play perfectly like I want to play.
Right.
And that's what I thought, wow, this in wherein beats the heart of a musician. That was just a great journey, I thought. My favorite part of the film was her conflict.
Well, because that's interesting, because the way you explained that, I mean, it sounds very like Hallmark movie almost, the way you say, like, oh, well, she starts to gain her eyesight back and this kind of stuff. But it's
yeah,
like,
well, it could have been Hallmark, but it wasn't.
Okay, that's good. You know, and that's what I like. I like when you can say, like, because apparently, again, this is all based on a true story where she was starting to recover her sight after the injury. And with, I guess his techniques involve magnetism, apparently, the way that he was trying to fix her eyesight.
I did not understand any of those techniques. Yeah,
I know. I think they made mention of that, and then they showed one or two scenes with him trying his thing, and it made zero sense.
Okay.
At all. So they just, you know, glossed right over all that. It would have been, I mean, but then again, I guess that would have been a different story, but I would have liked to see a little bit more about, you know, that. So, that could have been interesting.
So wait, though, this is a story about magnets, and the question you ask about it is, how do those work?
Yeah.
Well, not exactly.
How do magnets
when he was doing his when he was doing his rehabilitation, you don't get much of it at all, Laura's right, and then you think, this guy's out of his freaking mind. But
yeah.
Then in the next scene, she's like, oh, I can kind of see. I can kind of see. And we're,
it's
I'm like,
wait,
really?
What?
Really?
How did you get here?
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So there are some little, you know, little inconsistencies here and there.
Okay. Well, then, so, I mean, are there any major points that you wanted to get across? Because it sounds like you've covered quite a broad range. I mean, from what it sounds like the way you're explaining it, again, I haven't seen it, just like, it's a very, you know, it's a solid enough indie biopic drama, like a foreign film, but it just wasn't focused enough to be cohesive as a whole or something like that? Or is that just generally just what you're saying?
That sounds pretty good.
Don't let me put words in your mouth. Please explain further if I'm wrong.
What do you think, Bradley?
Well, you know, I really enjoyed her journey as a character. Everything around her seemed a bit too mean. But I don't know.
Maybe I
just have hope in my heart. Like I was calling it clearly Hollywood script attitude about how people are mean. But Laura swooped in with reality and is like, actually, Bradley, to be a piece of garbage to people is the human condition.
I do like people on occasion, really, I do.
But you're probably right. I wouldn't doubt if people, especially in those big party scenes where, you know, you gather around to watch someone play and everyone, you know, enjoys the music, of course, but there's always one person at least that's like, oh, blind player, how droll, I bet she smells too.
Oh, I have the perfect story for that. I was in, okay, so I'm an opera singer, that's sort of where it all came from, opera and piano, I did, yeah, overachiever.
Wow.
Anyhow, so in the little lunch area or where everyone sort of gathered, I just remember these sopranos were, and I was soprano, but all these, you know, grad students, and they were so great and amazing. They always dressed to the nines, always looked amazing. And this is in college, right? So they're always putting on airs. And one of them was like, oh my God, it's so nice to see you, to some lady who has just come in. Oh, your audition was amazing. Oh, we'll have to do lunch. And the girl said, oh yes, we shall. And then she flounced off. And then the original girl turned to somebody next to her. Oh my God, she sang like a pig. It was so horrible. I was like,
what?
Oh, all right. So that's this world. It was
Goodness.
So, yeah. So I sort of think about that when I watch this. With the mean girls. But you're right. She was surrounded by intensely mean people. And I couldn't figure out, you know, she was actually pretty kind.
Yeah, she was very empathetic, too, to a lot of people's situations.
She definitely
couldn't have learned that from her parents.
No way. I know. It just, I don't know how she was kind in and of herself. Because, yeah, her parents were just... Ugh, I just wanted to kill her father.
his father was the absolute worst.
Yeah, and it was, yeah.
I'm surprised her name wasn't like, oh, I just dropped my own joke. Damn it, Brad.
Yeah, I don't know. It was, you know. I think you're right. I think it is good to watch. It's a solid period piece. It's got some really great visuals and, you know, I keep saying, you know, it's annoying to me that I'm saying that, but I'm trying to find my words.
Laura, we know.
I really liked how the visuals worked, and I also liked the set design, the costumes, and the makeup, because it was not beautiful. Even though it was beautiful, it was just the other side of beautiful, and it really set the tone for the horribleness that was around her and her life and her condition.
Mm-hmm.
When it could have been beautiful, but the people themselves were all horrible around her, and you can see it in how they're dressed, and you know, their wigs are not quite beautiful, their outfits are a little not quite beautiful, everything's sort of tinged with dirty or gray, and that could have also been how she was supposed to be seeing it, but I don't know, I think that was for us more than her, if that makes any sense.
Okay.
I don't know, I enjoyed it, but at the same end, I was also just so disheartened by the people. You know, it was rough going there sometimes, but
interesting. I appreciated how the film never said, "You don't deserve her music." Like, it didn't guilt us, but at the same time, it kind of showed in full light, look how terrible these people are.
Yeah, it made me want to, like, swoop in and save her. Not all people are terrible.
You're too talented for these heathens or these meanies.
Yes, just tell them to go away. Yeah.
So then, I guess, yeah, we can just segue into our final thoughts. Who would like to go first? Brad, do you need a dustbin to collect those thoughts you dropped beforehand, or...
Yes, thank you. I'll go get it.
So yeah, whoever wants to go first, go ahead.
No, I can. I haven't spoken in a while, I suppose.
I know, I'm just taking up time. I'm so sorry.
Assert yourself, so, Brad. Be a man.
Oh, boy. Oh, no. Every time I hear that, I freeze up.
Oh, boy.
Anyways. Yeah, it was beautiful, beautifully played. I enjoyed the music very much. Very fascinating character, which you can find out more about, of course, and actually listen to her music as more of it is being discovered. I believe the film ended with, like, go listen to Madame Paradis' music here. I really enjoyed how it didn't go, like I said, full on, like many biopics go to this area. Like, the doctor never said, she may be blind, but she sees clearly.
Oh,
more
God.
Clearer than all of us. Gag.
So true.
You know, I'm glad
yes.
that didn't go there. I felt it kind of dragged on a little bit during the medical treatments, because those... I'm sure they actually happened that way. I really am. But since it was just so bizarre... It kind of took me out of the film for a bit. Like, he's hitting, like, some metal, and then he's holding candles up to her eye. And he's all like, all a part of the procedure. And I thought, oh, my gosh, she's going to kill this woman. And then in the next scene, she's like, oh, I can see a little bit. And, yeah, like we said, that was okay. Surprised this didn't end with a disclaimer. Do not try these methods at home.
Yeah.
You know, especially with all the crazy crap people are into from hearing about medical stuff from the grapevine or WebMDing themselves. Anyways, and it's a lovely little film. I'd give it 7 scales out of 10 arpeggios.
Very nice. Yeah, I agree with a lot of what you said about this. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed watching it, and I liked the contrast of the sound design on it, which was actually quite minimal. I mean, they didn't have a lot of soundtrack to it. There's a lot of music, and then there was some silence. And I thought that worked really well as to get us into the lead character's headspace as she was trying to figure out her world. But I did like the music. I enjoyed the pianist they had, and I liked how they portrayed the piano playing. Yeah, the medical stuff, I'm sure it was just as heinous as we saw, but I wish we had seen more of the relationship between her and the doctor that allowed her to start to see again. Like, I really wanted to learn more about that, because it sort of was shocking. Like, oh, now I can see. Wait, what? What happened? So that would have been nice to explore that relationship, and it would have given the actor a lot more to work with, I think.
Yeah.
But, so I, too, I'm going to give it a... 7 really mean Austrian girls who are sniffing at her eyelids. But overall, yeah, I really, you know, well worth watching.
All right, excellent. I can use a little bit more German and French cinema in my life. So, yeah, maybe I'll have to actually check out my copy when I get the time. So,
You think it helped them become meaner that they were speaking in such a harsh tongue?
I don't know.
No, actually, they were saying the nicest things in German. We just translated them with horrible subtitles. Because...